Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Reconnect My Heart radio program, the show that we talk about life's problems that may break or tear our hearts apart. On Reconnect My Heart, we discuss God's answers to life's problems to reconnect our heart back to the way that He originally made us. I am your host, Brother Prater. I'm so glad that you're all able to join us on this Sunday, Father's Day Sunday. I hope you enjoyed your Sunday. I hope you enjoyed your Father's Day. If you have any questions, comments, or you just want to listen to the program, feel free to call us at 516-453-9118. Once again, that's 516-453-9118. To listen online, you can log on to www.blogblogtalkradio.com/reconnectmyheart. Excuse me. Or you can go to our chat room, which is on our website, to ask questions, leave your comments, or if you want to leave a prayer request. I want to say a huge hello to my church family, True Believers, Tabernacle Church, where our pastor, Pastor Otis Logan. Feel free to visit us. We're on the corner of 4204 Cardinal Drive, Dallas, Texas, 75216. Once again, feel free to come in and visit and worship with us if you're in the Dallas area. Once again, I would like to say thank each and every one of you all who are listening, who are supporting, who are praying for this program. Once again, for those who have not heard today, I would like to say Happy Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to all the men who are fathers. regardless if you have a biological child or not. If you are supporting, if you are married to someone and you are active in that child's life, even though you may not have a biological child, if you are active in your spouse's child's life, I would like to say happy Father's Day to you too. Even though you may not have a biological child, if you are taking care of a child, you are due honor on today. So just realize, regardless if you have a child through blood or through love, you are due a happy Father's Day today. So today in this program, we want to talk about the first superhero. Excuse me. The first superhero I heard about growing up was not Superman, nor was it Batman. It was Daddy, our father. On this Father's Day special, we're going to talk about and encourage the fathers who have been fulfilling the responsibilities. We want to tell them, happy Father's Day. We want to talk to the fathers. We want to encourage them. We want to help them fulfill their responsibilities. We want to educate, but also for those fathers who may not be taking care of their responsibilities, we want to challenge them. We want to challenge them and help them to understand what the responsibilities of a father are. The real superheroes. We're going to talk about fathers. First and foremost, being a father is a huge responsibility. Being a father is more than just planting a seed. Being a father is a responsibility where your life is on the line. Just simply put. And while I'm talking about fathers, for those who are interested, feel free to call. Feel free to give your, I don't want to say opinion. We don't want opinions. We want facts. But also we want to encourage not just the fathers, but also even the mothers. We want to encourage them, for them to understand what the responsibilities of a father, because a lot of times fathers have a bad rep. When you look at it, Father's Day is totally different and celebrated differently than Mother's Day. On Mother's Day, you see, which Mother's Day is on the second Sunday in May, on that Saturday before Mother's Day, you see flowers, you see cards, you see people selling things for Mother's Day. They're selling bouquet of flowers. They're selling so many different ornaments for Mother's Day. Mother's Day, the churches are packed. Mother's Day, restaurants are full. People flood to Mother's house to tell her happy Mother's Day. Matter of fact, if you're going to get a Mother's Day card, you have to go early. You know why? Because you will run out. If you wait till the last minute, you will not find a Mother's Day card. But when it comes down to Father's Day, matter of fact, where the churches are packed on Mother's Day, on Father's Day, you can sit wherever you want to. Mother's Day is what? It's standing room only. The restaurants, it's a long wait. Sometimes they'll encourage you to come back in 2 or 3 more hours. The wait is that long. But on Father's Day, there is no wait at all. On Father's Day, oh, you can sit wherever you want to. A lot of time, people don't give Father's Day the same recognition. as Mother's Day. And even when you look at some entertainers on TV, you look at some of the athletes, when they cut the camera on the athlete, the first thing they do, they wave and say, "Hi, Mom. Hi, Mom." They'll do that. Very few acknowledge fathers. So when we look at it, fathers, we do have a bad rap. We don't get the same recognition or appreciation as Mother's Day. And I hope, even though this is one program, but I hope it does shed some light for us to be able to celebrate and honor fathers, but also to let them know, to let others know that, you know what, we want to be appreciated too. We want to be acknowledged. A lot of times, the only time that fathers are acknowledged is when somebody wants something from the father. And unfortunately, there are times where daddy would give his last. Daddy would go without or do without because there's someone that has a need. That need may not be as great as their father, but because of the heart of the father would give it anyway. And I know a lot of times people just say stuff and make excuse for the father. Well, that's what they're supposed to do. And if you look at it, so many people have so many ideals on what a father's responsibilities are or the definition of a man. But what we're going to do, we're going to look at it straight from the source, from God's word. First, looking at a man. A man, when I say man, that also means a father. A father is the backbone and the leader of the family. And when you look at it, before any athlete or celebrity, daddy was considered the hero and the role model to the children's life. Daddy was a mechanic, he was a plumber, the ATM, the counselor, part-time cook, and full-time bodyguard for the family. He impacted many lives, not just within the family, but also even within the church and throughout the communities. He was known for his physical strength, leadership skills, great wisdom, compassion, and insight. And when you look at it, a father is larger than life in the eyes of their child. A father's presence causes a strong sense of security that comforts a child. When a father is when a child is performing in a school activity or a sporting event, the father's presence gives the encouragement and confidence to his child, even in his discipline. Fathers still show love. And when we look at it, as much as a child needs his or her father, the father also needs his children. A father draws strength in investing his knowledge, protection, and love into his child. A father's greatest joy is to look into the eyes of the little person whom he helped create. So becoming a father, for myself, becoming a father for the first time, it was actually a life-changing experience. And sometimes that makes a man prioritize and turn his life completely around when he realizes he's responsible now for someone that's dependent upon him, that actually came from him. A child can have a great, magnificent, and positive effect in a father's life. Excuse me. And when you look at it, Father's Day actually is considered a new holiday. Father's Day was not actually legislated until 1972 by Richard Nixon. In 1972, it was made a national holiday. It was made a national holiday and brought into law. So let's look at the definition of a father. A father is a man who has begotten a child from his own seed, from his loins, his cell, through his DNA. or you can look at it through adoption. The Greek word for father is a word says pater, P-A-T-E-R. It comes from the root word that means nourisher, protector, upholder. The first step in being a good father is being a good man. One must function as a mature, responsible male, thinking, acting, and operating maturely. A male of good moral ethics and character. It is often said that some fathers need to step up and be a man, but how can you expect them to step up and be a man when they've never been taught how to be a man? And unfortunately, I see it at work. For those that don't know, I work in the jailhouse at Luce Theric in Dallas County Sheriff's Department. And when you look at it, oftentimes I see so many men in jail. I see so many men, and unfortunately, there's a lot of men, they're in jail, and like I said, they've never been taught how to be a man. Some of the men that might have been in jail, for whatever reason, they're in jail, and just because somebody's in jail don't mean that they're a bad person. Just because somebody's in jail don't mean that they did something wrong. There's a lot of people that's in jail that are guilty, but there's a lot of people that's in jail that are innocent. So it's not our responsibility to find out or to dig and see if they're in jail for whatever reason. It's not our responsibility. It should not matter to us why they're in jail. The main thing is we should pray for everybody. So by me saying that, I see a lot of men in jail. And a lot of times when you listen to them, because that's where a lot of the group of the men are. And from various backgrounds, a lot of times, where were their fathers at when they were growing up? A lot of the fathers were not in the same home as that person, as that adult male now. They may not have had their father growing up. They may not have had their father in the same house. So think about it. What type of father did they have? A lot of them, they had an absentee father. A lot of them, their father was in the streets, in the gangs, in prison. And unfortunately, there were some fathers that had passed away before that now adult man, before he actually became a man, when he was a child, that father might have been killed or died for however he passed away. So there are various reasons of that man not having his father active in his life. Now, there's a difference. Even though the father might have been, quote unquote, physically present, but their father may not have been emotionally, psychologically, or spiritually present. So for various reasons, we have to look at, when that position of father is absent from a child's life, who can effectively replace or substitute for their father, for their biological father? Unfortunately, a lot of times that child grows up without having someone substituting for his biological father. There were some mothers who may have done the best that she could. There might have been some mothers who see the importance of making sure that their son, now first of all, both daughters and son need the activities of the father. But if the father is not in place for their child, there are times where that mother might have elected someone to help fill in that gap, that void. She might have chosen, maybe gotten married again and had a stepfather to fill the void of that absentee biological father. And a lot of times when I see the stepfather stepping in and taking charge and handling, how to say, handling his business or handling the biological father's business, I don't call them stepfathers. I call them step-up fathers. Why? Because they stepped up to the plate and they took care of the responsibility that the biological father abandoned. So those men, those step-up men, like I said, even though that's not their biological child, but they showed enough love to draft them into their life, into their home. So that mother may choose someone that she may be with, that she may marry, to help her raise that child. But even if the mother don't choose a man who she's dating or who she may marry, that mother may choose her brother, which is the child's uncle. She may choose someone within her church or someone within her community, someone that she can trust to help her raise her children. Now, we would say especially the boys, which the boys do need a male figure. And this is no disrespect, but I don't care how great a mother is, she cannot teach a boy how to become a man. As good as a mother is, it takes a man to help their boy to become a man. And for those who challenge that, one of the things I often say, because we're not talking about just verbal demonstration, we talk about visual demonstration, showing them, walking them through the course of life, showing them, because anybody can say something, but it's time for us to show some demonstration. So for those mothers who may feel like, well, I don't need no man in my life to help me raise my son. You know, I can help him be a man. I can teach him how to be a man. Number one, that's false. Number one, it took a male and female to get that child here. And it's going to take a male and female to help raise that child to become the productive citizen that they need to be. And so the first thing I would like to challenge for those who feel like they don't need a man to help them raise their child, I challenge you this. Show them, not tell them, show them how to use the restroom. Okay? So if the boy is supposed to stand up to use the restroom to urinate, if he has to stand up and use the restroom, but the mother want to teach him how to use the restroom, what she's going to do? She's going to be seated. So you using the restroom seated would disqualify you for teaching your son how to properly use the restroom. So that goes to show you right there. You can't teach a boy how to become a man. Just something so simple as that. But there are some details, there are some specific things that as men, we talk, we have a language we can understand. There are some things that we may not explain properly to a woman on helping her son to become a man. It's a natural instinct for us to be able to, I mean, I'll put it like this. There are just some things that we just don't think about subconsciously, because God made us in a way of, one, as men, we are to protect our families. We are to nourish, like I said earlier, we automatically are protectors. We're guarders. You know, I want to share this with you. I have one son. Now, some years ago, I was married. I was married and I had not just a son, but I had a stepdaughter also. And so in the middle of the night, while I'm asleep, I would get up and I would just go around the house just to check the house, not just to check and make sure nobody broke in, but also to check on the individuals that I was responsible for. I would check on them to make sure that they were okay. Because, like I said, we are the protectors. We are the coverers. Not just the physical coverers, but we are the spiritual coverers also, which I'm going to talk about that in a few minutes. But even the natural, after my son, mother, and I went our separate ways, it actually took me years to get used to not having my son physically in the home every day. It took me years because I was so used to getting up and protecting to make sure that they were okay. And I want to say this, as a man being the protector, being the coverer of the home, when I go to work, when I go see the jails, I see men in the jail. For each man that's in jail, the coverers of the home are actually out of the house. If God have the men to be the priest of the home, that means if the priest of the home is outside of the home, then the priest or the quote-unquote pastor of the home is leaving his congregation abandoned. He's leaving his congregation without covering. So as men, it is our responsibility to make sure that we're there for our family. Like I said, being there physically is great, it's important, but also we have a spiritual responsibility. God will not allow anything to happen to the family without forewarning the head, the man, the father, the husband. God wants us to be in a position to be so close to his voice so we can hear, because God can always forewarn us about things before things happen, because he has us as the first line of defense to fight against the devil when it concerns ourselves and our family, the concerns of our home. God is holding us as the, if you want to say, the when it comes down to the chain of command. God is going to come to us. God is going to come to us and ask us, are we doing what we're supposed to pertaining to our families? Now, as fathers, our first responsibility and our most important responsibility as the father is to introduce our children to their real father. Their real father, even though God has used us, we are the seed. Excuse me, the children are our seed. God has entrusted us with those seeds. But in actuality, the owner is actually God the Father. So in other words, even though we are their earthly father, but God is their spiritual father. And so God have us as the earthly father responsible to teaching our earthly children about our heavenly father. So that's our first responsibility. And if we fail to do that, then ultimately we have failed as a parent. So God have us responsible to teaching our children about who he is. Also, realizing that showing our children, not just saying it, but showing our children in how to praise God, in how to worship God, how to study God's word. Children look up to their fathers. And the fathers are supposed to not just introduce their children to God, but also help the children to be able to seek God for themselves. Understand that the children are going to always emulate the father. So if they see daddy studying, if they see daddy praying before God, if they see daddy crying out before God, now they see where daddy's strength comes from. And so if they see where daddy's strength comes from, then they're going to be like daddy or want to become like daddy by seeking God for themselves so they can be just like daddy. They're earthly father, but also their spiritual father. And so And fathers, like I said, it is our responsibility. And also, as a male who consults, trusts, and obeys the Lord in every area of his life, that helps us to understand what a man really is. And also realizing that God has given the fathers the responsibility to be the spiritual educator to their children. And realizing teaching comes from his word, but more importantly, it comes through the actions and the lifestyle of the father. Excuse me. And realizing that God is sending us spiritual messages. God is giving us information to the fathers about the concerns and the affairs of the family. But he must be in his rightful spiritual position to hear from God, to hear God speak. A father who refused his spiritual responsibility or refused his rightful spiritual position to hear from God, that's just like a father who not only refused his responsibility, but that's just like that father who lies in the bed in the middle of the night and he ignores the cry of his daughter who's screaming, "Daddy, Daddy, somebody's in here to hurt me. Daddy, somebody's in here to hurt me. Save me, Daddy. Save me, Daddy. He's hurting me, Daddy. He's hurting me, Daddy." Imagine that father hearing the cry of his daughter, hearing his daughter being assaulted, abused. But instead of the daddy getting up to save his daughter, he ignored the cry of his daughter. And he says he don't feel like getting out of bed. He's too tired. He's hoping the intruder will stop on his own and go away. What kind of father would that be? We would look at that as a horrible father. We would consider that father less than a man, less than a father. Why? Because he's hearing the cry of his child in danger, and he's ignoring it. He's too sorry. He's too lazy to get out the bed and fight for his family. Well, God wants us as the fathers to be in our rightful position to stand up, to get up and respond to the danger that our family is in. Don't you know that the devil is fighting our family 24/7? Don't you know that the devil is trying to take out our family? He's trying to split our family up. We cannot be lazy. That means physically nor spiritually lazy in a time like this. When you think everything is going well, that's a time for us to really be praying before God, because the devil does not want our families to be together. The devil hates that the father is taking his active role in leading his family to Christ. We are a threat to the devil's kingdom. So realizing that your main goal as the father is to introduce your child to their real father, but also for us as the fathers be in our rightful position, our spiritual position, not to get beat up by the devil, but to take over through the help of God. And so when we look at it, right now, there's a lot of fathers who may not have their children in their life. We're not talking about, oh, because the father, he don't want to do nothing. The father, he's sorry. No, we're not talking about them. We're talking about those fathers that have a desire to be with their child. But unfortunately, because of conflict, the baby's mother, the child's mother, may have kept that father away from their child. And a lot of times, there's a lot of mothers who allow their personal feelings to influence or dictate them being the effective or ineffective mother towards their child. In other words, I'm going to say it like this. that father may have been a horrible husband. He might have been a horrible boyfriend, but he may be a good father. We have to separate the responsibility and the position of husband and father, or boyfriend and father. He may have hurt you as a wife. He might have hurt you as a girlfriend, but that does not give you the right nor responsibility to keep him away from his child. Not just your child, but his child. Even though he might have hurt you, and I'm not talking about physical hurt, or I'm not even talking about physical emotional abuse. Or, no, I'm not talking about that. We're talking about he may have let you down. He may have been unfaithful. He may not have been the perfect husband. But when he is doing what he's supposed to in the eyesight of the law towards his children, you have to make sure to allow your personal feelings out of the situation. And so, in other words, I've seen so many women because, like I said, he might have been a bad husband. They feel like, well, I don't want my child to be hurt like I was hurt. So to protect my child, I'm going to keep him away because he hurted me and I was his wife. I've known him. I was married to him, but he hurted me. So it's my responsibility to protect our child, to protect my child. And the answer is no. To be with his child, to spend time with his child, and also realize this, regardless if he's paying child support or not, he has the right. A lot of times there are some women, because they may not be receiving the financial support like they're supposed to, they may not be receiving as much as they desire or what the law says, but still work on the relationship that's past husband and wife or boyfriend and girlfriend, past that, as mama and daddy for the sake of the child. The best interest is not your feelings nor his feelings. It's the child's feelings and the upbringing for that child. That's the first and main responsibility. But also, I want to challenge the men, especially if there is a separation, if there is a divorce, or even if you are not with the child's mother, it's your responsibility as the man to look at what your legal rights are. Don't go by hearsay. Don't go by even what she says. You seek legal counsel for yourself. You do your own homework. And the laws are determined based on what state you're in. For example, in the state of Texas, first of all, I'm going to say this. There's a difference between child custody and visitation rights. There's a difference. A lot of times people just think, oh, it's the same thing. It's not. It's not the same thing. Now, child custody simply means the financial responsibility of the child. Now, even though you might split 50-50 with the child's mother concerning the child, you might have joint custody of that child. And you would think joint custody, meaning 50-50 or split, you would think if it's joint custody that we have and we're sharing custody, we have it 50-50, you automatically assume that it's the same thing pertaining to visitation rights. And the answer is no. Those are two different animals, two different fruits. It's like trying to compare apples to oranges. Even though it's a fruit, but there are two different fruits. So visitation rights are the time that you physically have with your child. Now, in the state of Texas, they say that if mother and father cannot come to a reasonable agreement pertaining to a visitation for the child, then by default, the visitation right will go like this. Every Thursday from 6 to 8 p.m., and then every other weekend, if the child is staying with the mother, then by default, every other weekend that father will have the child, and then the visitation will be every Thursday from 6 to 8. So in other words, one day a week from 6 to 8, and then every other weekend. Can you effectively minister, can you effectively parent a child twice or 2 hours a day and then every other weekend? The answer is no. That child gonna end up lacking a relationship with that parent. Now, it used to be primarily that the mother had custody of the child, and then the father was the one that would visit. But now, because of this day and time, now it's almost backwards. There are more men now that have custody of the child, and the mother's on child support, or the mother's on visitation. Sometimes the mother has abandoned her responsibility. So now we have fathers who are not only providing for the children, but have custody of the children. There was someone that I met the other day. They told me that they were at home one day, and all of a sudden they got the knock on the door. They got a knock on the door. He opened the door, and that was his children's mother, and had, I think he might have had two or three children, one or the other. She had the children at the doorstep. She said, "I can't take it anymore. You can have them." And she left and never came back. And he have to raise his children without the physical or financial support of the mother. I want you to think about that. A lot of times, people just think, well, you know, men, well, all they need, they ain't got no feelings. They just need to suck it up. Real men don't cry. And that's not the case. And to be honest with you, most of the people that say that are someone that's been hurt by a man. Someone who have said that have gotten the wrong information on what a man really is. And I'm going to tell you this, like I said, the media, television, movies, music don't dictate or define what a real man is. A real man has emotions. A real man don't mind becoming vulnerable or even transparent. A real man does not have a problem in saying that, you know what, I'm troubled, I'm hurt, or even I'm scared. A real man has no problem in doing that. I'm going to show you this. A real man, even though he might shed a tear or two, but he doesn't shed a tear out of loss of hope. See, a lot of time, when women go through things, they have their support system. But God wants us as men to be able to have our support system also, because a lot of time us as men, we keep things bottled up. A lot of time us as men, we don't share what's on our heart. See, I always say this. A man don't mind acknowledging his mistake, but he won't acknowledge his hurt. There's a lot of time men are hurt, but they suffer in silence. They keep things bottled in. Sometimes they may, and I'm not saying that it's the right thing, but sometimes they may use alcohol, sex, cigarettes, smoking, different things to try to get that out, try to relieve the burden or the stress. Also, let me tell you this. Oftentimes, the man is so stressed, because he can't express himself, he'll curse. He'll use foul language because he's trying to convey how he feel. He's trying to verbalize how he feel. And so because he have not really interpreted or got in tune with his feelings to be able to have someone to help understand the language, the emotional language that he's speaking, sometimes he'll use curse words to try to expound upon how he feels. So that's not healthy. But God is trying to help us to be able to verbalize our heart, our language. And who better than to teach us than God himself through the Holy Spirit? So realize men have feelings, men have emotions, men grieve. But even if the mother has a conflict with that father, the worst thing the mother can do is take it out on the children. One of the major things we hear a lot of time through scarred females, she tells her son, "You just like your daddy. You just like your daddy." And sometimes she would even talk down about her daddy to try to make herself look good, to build herself up towards that child's life or in that child's life. But what you don't realize, those seeds that you're trying to plant in your child towards their father, in actuality, you actually plant it where your child will have that resentment, not towards their father, but towards you. Even in the Bible, it tells us you reap what you sow. It's just like a person trying to dig a ditch. An enemy of yours trying to dig a ditch. And when they think that you're going to fall into that ditch, they fall into that ditch themselves. So realize it's not healthy to even involve children in adult affairs. Leave children business, and leave the adult business out of the children's business. It's so many kids that end up dealing with adult situations, adult issues, and they are deprived from growing up. A child wants to love both parents. A child does not want to decide on who they have to love better, the mother or the father. The child comes from both parents and love both parents equally. Now, there may be one that they may, if you want to say, favor because of their personality, but that does not mean that they don't love the other parent. So, like I said, what we have to do, we have to allow the bitterness to come out of our dealings with our baby's mother and also through our baby's father. We have to be mature. We have to keep the business fired for the sake of the child. But also realize this, and especially if you are, if I'm saying like this, there may be some mothers that may be spiritually strong, and that child's father may not be to the spiritual level that they need to be at. Just because they are not where you think they should be at spiritually, that still does not give you the right to isolate them from their child. What may happen, or what you could do, you can assist your child to help minister to their father. You can teach your child, you know what? Since you're going to church and daddy not going to church, how about you show daddy what y'all doing in Sunday school, what y'all doing in Bible study? How about you show him that? And what's happening, daddy is being introduced to Christ, not just through their child, but if you want to say indirectly, through the child's mother. You know, think about this. You're looking out for the best interest of the child. Because if you look at it, the child influence is through their daddy. Or it could be vice versa. the mother may not be where she needs to be at, and the father has custody of the child. So the father may be showing their child what they need to show the mama in Sunday school or in the Bible study. So there's a way of making sure that you help your child father to be the responsible parent that they could be, and vice versa. But the devil does not want that to happen. The devil wants to see the conflict, wants to see the infighting, wants to see problems occur. He loves that. But what God wants us to do, God wants us to bring healing. God wants us to be mature. God wants us to be responsible. God wants us to be able to be the men that God called for us to be, and be the mothers that God called for us to be. So, as fathers, what we need to do, understand that we have to be the example, and also even teach our children. You know, being a parent, especially being a father, it's an everyday learning process for us, but also realize it can help us to be able to have teachable moments with our child. Being able to leave something behind so that way we can have a legacy. We can have something that our children and our grandchildren can remember us by. You know, one of the things I often think about, my daddy said when I was a kid, he always said, save a dry stick for a wet day. So in other words, be able to save something. You know, at the time, payphones were only, I think it was a dime at one point. It was a dime, and then it came a quarter and all that. But what he always said, my dad always said, keep your license with you. This was when I was walking. Oh, actually, I was driving too. But even if you don't have a lot of money, make sure you keep your license and make sure you keep 50 cents in your pocket. At least you can make 2 phone calls. So to be able to leave something, have something for your children to remember you by. And it's not so much what you leave your children, but it's what you help your children to manage with what you leave them. And it don't always have to be money. It could be principles to help them to get money or help them to be able to save money, help them to be able to be the productive citizens that they can be. Being able to save something. But also, for us as men, it's so important for us to realize we have to be careful pertaining to our seeds. Those are our seeds. We're responsible for our seeds. Think about this. Anytime there's a shooting, let's just say if there's a police shooting, when they do investigation, they have to account for every bullet. Not just the one that might have hit a target, but even those that had missed. Every bullet has to be accounted for. So when it comes down to it, us as men, we have to be responsible for the seeds that we possess. It is so important for the men to understand the value the devil is trying to destroy us as men, sometimes through our seed. A lot of time, we as men, we waste our seeds. We don't understand the value of ourselves nor our seed. A lot of time, think about this. Everywhere you go, whatever you do, every conversation that you have, you have to think about, we as men, we carry our seeds with us in every conversation, in every place that we go. So in other words, think about this. If you go to a strip club, you not only give yourself permission to go to that strip club, but you also give a permission to your seeds, which are your children, your sperm. You giving permission for your seeds, your children, to go to that strip club. You associate every demonic spirit associated with that strip club, such as pornography, prostitution, rape, alcoholism, and drug abuse, to be passed down to your seeds and their descendants. Since you are carrying your seeds inside your loins, your children and your descendants, your children's children, are with you wherever you go, good or bad activities, or whatever atmosphere that you involve yourself into. So in other words, everywhere you go, whatever you say, whatever you do, your seeds, your children are with you all the time. So you think about this. If you go into the strip club and you saying, oh, well, you know, my seeds are going, so, hey, if my son grow up to go to the strip club, oh, they're just a man thing. It's all right. But just like you give permission for your son to go, you're actually giving your permission for your daughter to entertain those men that is at the strip club. So we have to think about that. So we have to think about, we can't be wasteful with our seeds. We just can't insert our seed into anybody's bad soil. Any female that we see with a big behind or talking real nice and pretty, we just can't sleep with any female. Why? Because number one, look at Samson. Samson gave his love, gave his heart to the wrong one, Delilah. And he allowed himself game. He got played by game. Now, he was playing game, but ultimately, game caught up with him. In other words, he was playing game and he was matched with someone playing the same game. And guess what? He lost. And so it may look fun. It may look like, oh, well, you know, I'm just growing up. I'm just being a man. But that's not a real man. That's a boy. That's an immature person. And God didn't make you that way. God made you responsible. God made you with purpose. And the devil does not want you to understand your purpose, the purpose even of your loins. You're responsible. You are to invest. You are to invest. Your seeds are an investment. And you have to think about this. You have to be careful in, like I said, in where you allowing your seeds to go into. Who you're sleeping with, you have to understand that the ultimate way to get God's blessing is to marry the person and then have sex with them. God made sex. God made sex enjoyable. God made sex within marriage. But the devil wants you to do it outside of the marriage. The devil wants you to do it outside of the marriage so that way you can be outside of God's will. So understand, we're responsible for our seeds that's from our loins, but also we have to be responsible in who we deal with women. Not every woman is for you. And just because a woman may say some sweet words to you, that does not mean that she has your best interest at heart. If you're a father, you have to look at, if you plan on dating, you're choosing your child's stepmother. Now, she may have a pretty figure. She may be shapely. She may bat her eyes, have long, pretty hair. But can she instill some godly principles to help you to raise your child? Will she love your child as if it's her child? You have to look at, listen, you're not a package deal. You're a combo. Because packages can be broken up. But you have to look at, you know what, will she love you and your child? Or will she just try to love you and tolerate your child. You don't want anyone that's going to be tolerating your child. You want someone that's going to love you and your child because your child is a part of you. So you have to understand that we have to use wise counsel when it pertains to our seed and who we are dating or potentially marrying. So understand, just because she might be physically attractive, you got to see if she's spiritually attractive. Because, listen, sex not going to help you raise your child. You want someone that's going to be with you, someone that's going to support you, because man needs word of encouragement. Men need a survival mechanism that's oxygen, and that's called respect. Men want respect. Men want to be appreciated. So you have to understand that. Also, we have to understand the importance of men. When a man is absent from the home, when a man is absent from a child's life, they say that a girl without a father in her life is 2.5 times likely to get pregnant and 53% more likely to commit suicide. A boy without a father in his life is 63% more likely to run away and 37% more likely to use drugs. Also, I found this out. They said more than 96% of men have never been told, by their biological father, "I love you" in person. Isn't that startling? So, as we get ready to wrap it up, we have to look at, as men, we may not have been, quote unquote, taught the right way, or how to say, if I knew then what I knew now. You may have some regrets. You may not have had the best, quote unquote, ideal father in your life to raise you. But even with that, God loved you enough to be their father or even send someone to help you along the way. Even if your biological father was not active in your life, we still have to forgive them. Unfortunately, there's a lot of people that have resentment towards their biological father. And don't you know, the people that you hate, the people that you don't forgive, oftentimes you actually become just like them. So it's our responsibility to forgive them. And that does not mean because you forgive them that you automatically trust them. No, trust has to be earned. Forgiveness is not just for them, but more importantly, it's for you. Forgiveness is for you. For you to forgive them, for you to ask God to help you to go on with your life regardless of how they were, but also realize just because you forgive them, that does not mean that you trust them. But I will say this, we still have to respect them. Respect is not earned. Respect is automatically given. Now, that does not mean that you automatically start just sharing information, because there are some people that are not responsible. There are some people that are not qualified for our trust. But just because they're not qualified for our trust, that does not mean that we disrespect them. So realize respect is not earned. Respect is given automatically. But trust has to be earned. Trust has to be built. So for this Father's Day program, we want to encourage the fathers. We want to encourage the fathers who may be doing a good job, who may have done a good job. We want to applaud those fathers who have done the right thing. We want to applaud those fathers who have been the example, not just for their children, but also even for children in the community, children in the neighborhood. We want to applaud them. but also a group of men I want to acknowledge, I want to thank God for, the stepfathers, or like we call them, the step-up fathers. We want to thank God for them because, to be honest with you, they chose a role that's often overlooked, that's unappreciated. And I want to pay special tribute to the stepfathers today. We thank God for you. We pray that God bless you. We pray that God give you the comfort and the strength that you need, even when you seem like, when it seems like you were not being appreciated. But also, there are some that are listening who may have been hurt by their father, mentally, physically, emotionally, sexually. We want to pray for you, regardless if you're the daughter or the son. That has happened. Sin is on a rampage. We want to pray for them. There are some that are listening. They don't have their father around anymore. Some of the fathers have walked off and never returned. Some of the fathers have passed away. We want to pray for you. We want to uphold their legacy. They may not be with you physically, but realize they're here with their legacy is still here. Their memories, the good times are still here. So for those who no longer have their father, this may have been an uncomfortable day, but we praying that God help you through the days to come to reflect on the good times, for you to be able to celebrate and know that weeping may endure but a night, but joy will come in the morning. It may seem like the hurt will never end, but just take it one day at a time. And center yourself around people that's going to speak encouragement. But also realize there are other people that's been in your same shoes, and God may send people that properly understands how you feel. But just realize no matter what situation you've dealt with, God understands everything. And he's here to help you. Dear Heavenly Father, we're coming to you right now, God. Thank you, Lord, for your awesomeness. God, we're coming to you right now, God. We thank you, Lord, for the fathers, God. We're speaking, God, that you encourage them, that you be with them right now, God. God, for those who may not be saved, God, give them that desire, God, to seek you as Lord and Savior in their life right now, God. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we're speaking, God, for those fathers, God, those fathers who have done what they're supposed to in the eyesight of you, God, who've been there to encourage, to teach, God, their children, God, their family, those who have been the protectors of the home, God. Thank God for them, God. God, we appreciate them, God, and help them, God, to have the long life, God, for them to be able to be the example to us, God. And God, for even those fathers who may not have been active, God, who may not have done what they're supposed to, God. God, we're speaking, God, that you forgive them, God, and help them to be the man that you call for them to be, God. Help them to make it right with not just their children, but even the baby's mother right now, God. God, we're speaking, God, that you help them, God. Give them the skill, give them the desire, God, to mend the broken fences, God. And God, help them, God. They may not have done all the right things, God, but they may have done the best what they knew, God. And God, we speak, God, that you help them, God, to receive the peace that they need and the instructions that they need, God, to help them, God, to be the men that you call for them to be right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we're speaking, God, the children, God. God, we're speaking, God, that you help the children, God. They may have dealt with some situation of mom and daddy being divorced, God, or separation, God, or abandoned. May feel abandoned or alone, God. God, we're speaking, God, that you remove every discouraging word that might have been said, God, every discouraging feeling, God, emotional hurt that they've dealt with, God. Even physical hurt right now, God. We're speaking, God, that you help, that you minister to them right now, God. Heal them mentally, physically, financially, spiritually, emotionally, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we're speaking, God, even for the mother, God, who may have taken care of the children on her own right now, God. God, we first, God, we want to apologize, God, as men, as fathers, God. We want to apologize, God, for those that we have abandoned, for those we have hurt, even if we have made the mothers take care of both responsibilities, God. We speaking, God, that you help us, God, to make it right with them right now, God. In the name of Jesus, and say about everything you stand for, about every problem, about every confusion right now. In the name of Jesus, we speaking not defeat, we speaking victory right now. We're not speaking division, but we speaking unity. We speaking forgiveness. We speaking wholeness right now. We speaking that the families come back together right now. We speaking communication right now. In the name of Jesus, Lord, help us, God, to refocus, God. We focus on you and not our feelings or our emotions, but also even the best interest of the child right now in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, for everything you've done, everything you're going to do right now. In Jesus' name we pray. We say amen, amen, amen. I thank each and every one of you all who tuned in and listened to this program and support this program. Feel free to contact me on Facebook. I'm Brother Prater, Brother Prater, B-R-O. T-H-E-R, Prater, P as in Paul, R-A-T-E-R, Brother Prater. I'm on Facebook. I have my daily devotions, and I have my contact information on Facebook. Also, you're welcome to go on my website. It's www.brotherprater.org. You will also see my daily devotions and upcoming events and personal appearances. And also, if you go to the store section of my website, you can purchase my book, A Few Good Men, A Path to Godly Fatherhood. That was a great stocking stuffer for Father's Day or even for the Father's Day season. A Few Good Men was written to applaud the fathers who are taking care of their responsibilities, to educate and challenge those who are not, to give the single women a way to identify the qualities of a potential future husband and or father to present or future children. I want to thank each and every one of you all who tuned in to this program. I pray that it ministered to you all, and I thank each and every one of you all who tuned in. God bless you, and good night. Reconnect My Heart radio program. Good night.